We're living in a small town. You got it. On WDBC, good morning. It's a Friday morning, and that means that we have Kevin Chown with us in the studio. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Got your snow feet on this morning?
I have my long underwear on.
You have your long underwear on.
Absolutely.
It's warm in here. I could put another log on the fire for you.
I barely got to wear it this year. It's been such a warm winter. I figured it would be such a waste to have these long underwear in my closet and not use them all summer. You know, I needed an excuse, Craig.
Is it a red onesie?
No, it's the old traditional white style long underwear.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
With the little ribs in them kind of thing.
Deer camp style.
There you go.
Exactly.
Well, it is certainly going to be a little bit cooler today, but things are going to warm up next week. Should we check out the weather forecast?
We shall.
Scattered snow showers today, mostly after 3 o'clock this afternoon. Otherwise, partly sunny skies. We're going to have sunshine and snow. Go figure. With a high near 25. Isolated snow showers before 8 o'clock tonight, and mostly cloudy skies, a low around 9. 9 with a wind chill of 0 to 5 degrees. Can you believe that? Then we're expecting some scattered snow showers, mostly after 5 o'clock on Saturday, with increasing clouds and a high near 25. Wind chill values could be 0 to 10. We are expecting a little bit of snow, isolated snow, before 9 o'clock on Saturday night, with mostly cloudy skies, low around 20. On Sunday, blowing patchy snow between noon and 2, with mostly cloudy skies, a high near 32. And then things are going to get a little warmer, 38 and 40 by Wednesday, and then back down to 35 on Thursday. Currently in Menominee this morning, we have 19 degrees. Marquette is showing 18 and snow. Iron Mountain, 16. And in Escanaba, we have 17 degrees. So a little chilly out there. It's just like winter.
Yeah.
Just like winter.
It's like you can kind of take it. It's been such an easy year. I almost feel guilty for not having at least a little bit of sub-zero weather.
Guilty, yeah. I know. I didn't even use my snowshoes at all this year. What's up with that?
I used my snowblower for the second time this year yesterday.
I let Patty shovel a little bit of the driveway, and I didn't shovel the rest of it. Because it is, you know, feels like spring.
Oh, it's just going to melt in a
week
Sunday,
anyways. Last Sunday, I felt like I needed to do some yard work.
Exactly. How's everything around town?
Well, I will tell you that I enjoyed so much listening to the house band at the outhouse over at Lee's Garden Winery on Saturday. You had, I guess you were the only house guy, unless you're calling Pete now one of the house guys.
He's a member.
He's a member of the
house
band.
Yeah, we have a revolving, it's kind of like the Grateful Dead or the Doobie Brothers. We had this constant revolving cast of, you never know who's going to show up.
Because you had Lauren on the drums, because Dave had a different performance he had to do. As you were playing there that night, and I have asked Tony to get some of the recordings. You sent over one, which we'll play a little later this morning. But this is one that Tony sent from the winery, and Pete starts it off. It's kind of funny. Here we go. Here is the house band at the outhouse.
Lee's Garden Winery.
Well, this kind of time of year makes me a little lazy, so we're going to play a little song about being lazy. The Lazy Bones. Make a dime that way. Listen to a word
words I say.
And the house band on WDBC. Man, that was fantastic. And we'll have another song coming up here later this morning. So that is your mom's grand piano that he's playing right there.
It is.
Over at Lee's. And you were in the bass line.
Yes. With my classic 1972 polytone bass amp that sounds fantastic for all of you bass nerds out there.
Oh, well, yeah, okay.
Wouldn't know what a polytone is, Craig.
Not a clue, sorry, but it sounded really nice.
It doesn't it, though? Doesn't it? You just put a mic in front of it, and it's like, wow.
Yeah, wow.
It's amazing that we are actually generating some recordings in town now. That's really cool.
That sounded great, yep. I'm trying to get more. I want Tony. Tony's listening, because you're on your Facebook Live. Got to make sure that when he pops up there, I got to tell him I got to get more of those songs because that was a really good performance. You guys did a great job.
Thanks.
So I had a lot of fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
I saw you dancing at the House of Ludington on Wednesday.
Well, you don't give that stuff away. What are you talking about?
Come on, you're doing the polka. How can I not mention something?
We were giving it a try. Coming up at Lee's tonight, we have a debut performance. I didn't think that there was anybody left to play at Lee's.
Oh, yes. New one tonight. There is a debut. Let me find that again. Debut performance of Gavin Heaton, special guest vocalist, Autumn Fournier. He went to Albion College, performed at a lot of venues downstate, local theater productions from what I can see here. Classic American songbook up and modern era.
Fine, okay.
Songs. It sounds like he fits in perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I always love to see people who are, you know, at least about half my age, taking up the profession.
Autumn is with Players Dinak and the Escanaba City Band, so she's got certainly a musical background as well, so it'll be good to hear what she has. Yeah, talk about half your age. You posted after the Super Bowl game, or at least after the halftime show, I don't get it.
I don't get it. Did you?
I didn't see it. So Phil Lynch, he says that Kevin... that show wasn't for you. You weren't the demographics.
That's the truth. That's why I didn't get it.
What didn't you get? What was your issue with it?
Well, I mean, you can't deny that he's got...
Talking about Usher here.
Talking about Usher, yeah. He's got an impressive catalog. But I don't know, Super Bowl halftime show, I mean, as I remember it, always used to be a little bit more exciting. I mean, there's been some pretty high bars set. I mean, once Prince does something, it's really hard to top that, if you know what I mean. I mean, it's funny listening or watching the comments that day. You know, not as good as Prince. Well, of course it's not as good as Prince. No one is as good as Prince.
Somebody really said that?
Yeah. But, you know, for me, it just didn't, it felt like it did not connect with, it didn't connect with me. And like you say, it wasn't my crowd.
Mm-hmm. You don't roller skate, do you?
I don't roller skate. It did not seem like it just didn't catch with it. It didn't hold my attention. How's that?
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were such a hard audience to please.
It looked like, you know, sometimes, you know, that when someone's trying a little too hard, how it kind of starts to like get in the way of it just being what it really is and natural. That's what it felt like to me. It's just like it was a huge production, and to his credit, I will say that production was amazing. It looked amazing.
Okay.
I liked all the dancing, and the choreography was fantastic. I liked the roller skates. The piano was very cool. Alicia Keys, you can't deny Alicia Keys is great. There were a lot of things that I did like about it, but as a general rule, I don't know. I didn't get it.
Considering the role that Taylor Swift has played with the Chiefs, mm-hmm. I could have been a betting man that she would have made an appearance during that halftime show. I am completely surprised that she did not, considering what she's meant to football these days.
No kidding. You know, it's amazing how just her interest in something can drive other people to be interested too. It's crazy what an influence she has right now. I think in a good way, over young women in particular, with her music and with, you know, kind of the way that she lives her life. I think that she's a good role model for that era, for mm-hmm. that generation. And she has integrity. I think that she's tough. She does not take.
Well, if you're in that role, you have to be to get to that level.
So I personally admire. I thought it was really ridiculous how much the NFL used her, let's be honest.
Oh, yeah. That's NFL, what I'm talking about.
The NFL was using her.
Absolutely.
She's not using the NFL.
Yeah. Commissioner Goodell was seen talking to her before the beginning of the game. Of course, the announcers were going, yep, he's over there thanking her big time. For showing up to these games.
Yeah, I mean, she's generating such an enormous amount of money with her tour and with her music, and she's the largest pop culture presence of the era, for sure. As big as Michael Jackson was, for sure.
Oh, I don't know. Is that true? You think so?
I think as a personality, she is.
I mean, maybe of this era, but when you think about icons, mm-hmm. I mean, it's Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson... I don't know if there's another one. The Beatles, you know, those are them.
I, from my experience in my short life, someone
you put her at that level?
Someone doesn't become an icon until they're not doing what they're doing anymore, you know? I don't think anybody recognized Michael Jackson that way until Michael Jackson, unfortunately, wasn't with us anymore.
Oh, no, that's not true. That can't be true.
He started at a very young age, like...
The king of pop, for crying out loud.
Like Taylor Swift also started when she was 16. And the cool thing about her is I think everybody's seen her kind of evolve through she started out more as a country artist, like an Americana artist.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And she sings and writes her own songs. I personally admire her business savvy. Like, she was having some trouble with her record label in regards to the first couple of records that she put out in some way. I don't know the specifics of this. Basically, she just ended up re-recording the entire record so that she had her own versions of it, which I thought was just audacious, but she gets away with it because she's really good. She mm-hmm. can do that kind of stuff, and she's not reliant on, she doesn't need expertise. She's got enough expertise herself, and she has a way of connecting with people that is, I don't remember many people having that level of Unlike Michael Jackson, I don't think anybody saw Michael Jackson and said, wow, I see myself in Michael Jackson. Definitely not. But with Taylor Swift, it's different. She's pretty grassroots, and I think a lot of girls in particular see her and they say, wow, I identify with her because she's so much like me in many ways, other than being a famous pop star. You know, she seems like a type of girl who wants a cute boyfriend that plays in the football team, just like every other girl in high school. I'm not going to say every girl. I don't want to generalize here. But, you know, she's...
Yeah, some of them like the guys in the band, the marching band, you know. Come on.
I know, exactly. I think, you know, everybody goes through eras, and she's a fascinating person. She's not afraid mm-hmm. to speak her mind, which I think is a very good thing, too.
All right. Well, Kevin, we're getting to that point where we got to check out news at the bottom of the hour. Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist was in Escanaba yesterday. That's one of the stories that we have coming up in news. Hanging out with Kevin Chown this morning on WDBC. Hey, that's Taylor Swift. Wouldn't you know it? Wildest Dreams on WDBC from 2014. So one of her older songs.
Definitely pop. That's pop music.
Uh-huh. That's as far as you're venturing out there. That one. Well, if you're not going to venture on that one, can I have you critique a different song for me?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. I'm sure you've heard it, but I've not had the opportunity to talk with you about this song.
Boy, I'm waiting.
Okay. Because it does mention you.
What?
You've not heard this song?
I don't think so.
Okay. Bill Gassman. Do you know him?
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. I think he's a fan of the house band. He's been in the Ludington before.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. You've not heard the song? I've played it twice already this week. So if anybody's listening, you know. I was telling on air, I said I wanted to play his song, and I've played it a few times before. But with no snow, it made no sense to play this song. Now we've got the snow, I can play it. Because, you know, what do you do when you get snow? You boogie. And here we go. It is the UP Boogie on WDBC. Check out what he says about Kevin.
Shovel to the left, shovel to the right. I was shoveling this morning, still shoveling tonight. Doing the UP Boogie, gonna shovel, shovel all night long. Sometimes it's light as feathers, sometimes it weighs a ton. I gotta eat my spinach to get this driveway done. Doing a UP Boogie, gonna shovel, shovel all night long. They say there's 40 inches in the middle of the street. It's heavy as wet concrete, I can't feel my feet. Rocking Escanaba, don't seem like it's that far. But it's all theoretical if I can't find my car. It's piling up so high there's not room for any more. How can I get out if I can't get out my door? Doing a UP Boogie, gonna shovel, shovel all night long. Escanaba is a-hopping on a Wednesday night. I hear the house of Ludington is rocking out tonight. With Kevin on the low notes and the band is playing tight. But I can't find my car, man, the snow's out of sight. Now I'm tearing through Trenary, turning right at Rapid River. I gotta get downtown and put a quiver in my liver. Doing the UP Boogie, gonna shovel, shovel all night long. Doing the UP Boogie, gonna shovel, shovel all night long.
All night long, UP Boogie.
Doing the UP Boogie, gonna
you got
shovel,
a tune down there now, don't you?
That's catchy.
With Kevin on a Wednesday night playing the low notes.
Very
Bill
cool.
Gassman from Gladstone, who put that song together.
Nice.
So, what's it like to hear your name in a song?
It's fun that people
You know, you made it big in Escanaba.
Yeah, it's like, I guess everybody knows that Wednesday night, that's what's going on, is stuff downtown Escanaba, which is kind of fun to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of bizarre, but it's but it's very cool. Why don't we encourage our other listeners and other musicians out there, write more songs about Escanaba.
There you go.
We should have it. Who can write the best song about Escanaba?
You're going to have a songwriting contest?
Songwriting contest.
Yeah.
We could have so many different avenues of creativity. Just run with it. I don't know what I would write. You know, when I was doing the backup project, I found 4 songs about Escanaba. Because you know the one, Escanaba
Beat. Beat, yeah.
Yeah, there's 3 others that have been released nationally.
Besides this one?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of songs about Sault Ste. Marie as well. I think we've played a couple of those.
Mm.
Escanaba and Sault Ste. Marie are the 2 songs in the Upper Peninsula, for whatever reason, that people like to write.
So the other one's
about
somehow involving Escanaba and the Moonlight, or what?
No, they're just, one's a punk rock song.
Really?
Escanaba. I'll have to send them to you. They're quite fun. I think the other
one. So I can't play that one.
Oh, I got them on my little second phone here. I'll send them to you. We'll dig them out.
All right.
This is a popular town. I think it's the sound of the word Escanaba.
Oh, it's an easy word.
It's like California.
Kalamazoo. Escanaba. I got a gal in Kalamazoo.
Or you could always do parodies.
Zoo, zoo, zoo.
Welcome to the hotel, Escanaba.
Yep. Dun, bum, bum,
bum, bum. See, you run with it.
Take me home, US-2, to the place I belong, Escanaba. See, there you go.
There we go. The thing I love about
all those good Escanaba songs.
I love doing the show with you because we grew up in the same neighborhood, so we're like Escanaba guys. We're like always thinking about different things for the hometown.
Mm-hmm.
It's good times.
It rolls off the tongue better than Gladstone.
But it's not very conducive to creativity. Rapid River 2, doesn't really.
That's okay. I'm not dissing Gladstone at all. I actually love Gladstone. A lot of great businesses and stuff there. It's fun.
They've got the new brewery coming into downtown.
I can't wait. That's going to be fantastic.
The old Rialto Theater. Is it the Rialto Theater? Yeah. Is that what it was called?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, it's nice. I love Gladstone. I take rides quite often over there just for fun to look at the lake. It's a quaint little town.
It's a great town.
Yeah.
We got the log rolling logs there.
Yes.
Got good pizza place.
Nice beach.
Yeah.
Very nice beach. I see they're going to be doing some more building of some different things.
You got Garden over there. Did you know the Dock's for sale? You ever gone to the Dock restaurant over in Garden?
Restaurant,
yeah.
In Garden.
Man, I wish I had $1 million.
That's a cool place. That's a
it is a
place.
Fun place. Not enough seating out on the deck, but because it's high competition for those seats.
So, it was nice to see that there's some progress with the condo project down on Main Street this week. Last week I saw that the
Planning
Commission approved it. I saw a thing on MLive yesterday, the Ann Arbor newspaper.
Yeah, I sent you that link to me. Yeah.
It's nice to see other people talking about it. And what was the headline? It was something about a destination town. I was like, wow, Escanaba, a destination town. Didn't really like the headline much, but
you didn't like that headline?
Well, this will never be a destination.
Why not?
Town.
Why not?
This is the only reason you come here is to do things. So the destination of why you come here is events.
Right. Well, events, okay. Mm-hmm. But you also have fishing.
Yes.
It used to be huge. It still is. The outdoor activities can be a big deal, whether you're sailing or kayaking, those kinds of things you can build on. History is a reason that a lot of people travel, so you can't underestimate the power of the Sand Point Lighthouse and the Historical Museum.
And downtown.
The art. Our downtown needs a little work.
It does, but that's where a lot of the history is.
That's where the history is. Mm-hmm. It's a very long downtown, and so that draws things out. Got some really good businesses there. A lot's going to be happening on the eastern end when they get the condominiums and the rest of the construction there and the hotel. You got the distillery that's going there. Mm-hmm. You got the brewery that's planned for it. So that eastern end is going to change things, and hopefully that'll come through the rest of the town. So, you get the place like the fire, that just throws another, maybe I'm getting a little more pessimistic, but...
Well, that's only natural to feel that way under the circumstances.
You start to feel like, are things going to be in control here a little bit, but...
Yeah.
You know, Certainly the events and stuff that we've had this past year were a major step forward. If we can get a lot of the people with the businesses interested in what they're doing. We've got Restaurant Week. That's getting a little more excitement again. We did it for the first time last week. That's coming up on March 3rd through the 9th. A lot of the restaurants will start talking about what it is they'll have to offer that week, and we can check out, have fun eating out for a whole week. Last year, I went out every single day and checked out some places I hadn't even been to before. Because there's 18 restaurants, 18 places to eat within Main Street there, Ludington Street.
If you're looking at it from the outside, I think, let me clarify my, this is never going to be a destination. I think the name of this place in particular isn't. However, the Upper Peninsula is a destination in the big picture.
Yes, it is.
It is. And this is a wonderful place for people coming to the Upper Peninsula to stay, to be able to see all of the different things that there are to see up here. You know, if I was talking to somebody about it, you know, if you've ever been to the Grand Canyon, have you been to the Grand Canyon?
No.
Okay. Grand Canyon is, it's kind of in the middle of nowhere, obviously.
Yeah.
So if you go to the Grand Canyon, where do you stay?
Yeah.
So Flagstaff.
When I first worked with the Tourism Bureau back in the 80s, one of the hotel owners says that Escanaba's biggest attraction was Mackinac Island, because people coming from Minnesota stayed in Escanaba. No, that was meant to be a diss, not a positive thing. And so, meaning that this is the travel through place, that people will stay here and they can travel and continue on. So I think that that's changed, certainly, but Escanaba still needs to figure out what its niche can be here in the Upper Peninsula as the UP continues to grow in popularity as far as travel industry is concerned. And I think that some of the cultural stuff that you're talking about, the nightlife, the activities, the events, the music, can certainly be a big part of that.
What do you think of a place like Munising? It's everyone thinks of Munising, Pictured Rocks.
Yeah,
it's automatic
outdoors,
thing.
Outdoors.
They think of Houghton, they think of Copper Country. When they think of all these different places, there's a natural thing attached to it. And locally, we don't have that.
We do. It's the bay.
We
it's
do,
the water.
But it's more about activity, though. It's based on, you know, fishing is popular, but in the big picture, I don't think that there's enough fishing. The fishing demographic is not
huge. I will
huge.
Tell you that people coming from outside the town like Escanaba because of the smallness of it, the quaintness, the friendliness. It's an extremely friendly town. And so you've been seeing people move into Escanaba because of that. That was the reaction we got from the boat tours this past summer. From people just, you know, one guy called it Mayberry, Hallmark Channel, kind of a place.
Yeah.
So that is certainly a big, huge positive for our community, and that's what can be built on.
They're going to come here to see something or to do something rather than...
Well, that's what you always travel for.
That's what you always travel for. But, you know, I think all of the experiences that you can have here, the reasons we live here, I think, if you just think of it, you know, why do I personally live here? Because it's beautiful. I love the simplicity of the place. I like how it's... It's got a lot of older traditions that seem to always stay vibrant and have a unique experience. It kind of it's comforting that way, because it kind of reminds you of your childhood in a way. You know, you always have those things that come that constantly come up on a yearly basis. But the way that, you know, if you're trying to bring new life here, whether that's business life or whether that's people that are just looking for something to do over the summer or over the winter, the venues that we have here, no matter what time of year, for events. It's events, it's events, it's events, it's events.
Yeah.
That's what will, at the end of the day, bring people in. You need specific things.
We need investment in our community, too, like Houghton or Marquette or Ironwood has been getting. We just don't have that kind of investment in Escanaba. The major investment we have right now is all going to be underground, which we need.
Right.
You certainly need to do that. But... It's not the investment that certainly that you've been seeing in the Marquette area or what you've been seeing in Houghton or, you know, those kinds of places where you're seeing structural investment into the community. And that's what we certainly, certainly need.
Well, what's the single day biggest tourist event in Escanaba in the
UP
last
UP State Fair?
No. Keith Urban.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Which is still at the UP State Fairgrounds.
When people bought a ticket to come and see Keith Urban, they didn't say, I want to go to Escanaba. They said, I want to go see Keith Urban.
Right.
Okay. And if you think of it that way, it's just about bringing in those types of things for people to come here to experience. we have the stages here to be able to hold those events. We have the facilities here to be able to do that. It's a perfect location because it's in the middle of everything. And I don't think it's going to, everybody locally loves the traditions and loves things the way they are. And I think sometimes they're a little resistant to development and change. You can see that, but it's because they don't want things to change. And the nice thing about focusing on events is it kind of improves the quality of life for the local population because they can be a part of these events too. And it brings new people in. It brings money into the community, and it improves the way that the outside world sees the place. You know, when I talk to people down in Detroit now, more than often, people talk to me about all of the live music going on in Escanaba because it's just constant now.
Well, and that includes, by the way, the Island Resort and Casino. You can't underestimate what they have done for our area as far as performance and that is concerned.
They are the biggest employer in this area, I have learned. One of the biggest, I'm sure.
It would be the biggest. It'd be the casino, the mill, and the hospital.
Yeah. That's an amazing thing. That's a business that didn't really even exist when I was a young man. That was from, you know, within a generation, they've built the largest employer in the area, focusing on attracting people there with events and, of course, gambling. But those constant concerts that they have, you know, those are just little carrots on a stick that get people to come there. So it's already being kind of demonstrated how you do this locally with them. If we would just take that same formula and move it into the middle right at the cross street of 11th and Ludington, as we've talked about. That's the center of
the universe. Do need to talk about sports. The girls basketball in Escanaba played a game against Ishpeming last night. How did it go? That's coming up next.
UP Propane. Look for the green tanks.
We're just coming up here on News Time at the top of the hour, hanging out this morning with Kevin Chown. Kevin, certainly appreciate you coming in, as you do each and every Friday.
My pleasure. It's always good to be here.
You're listening to 94.5 FM, AM 680 WDBC, Escanaba at 7 o'clock, or at least almost 7 o'clock. It's 17 degrees. It is a fine day because it's a Friday, and that means we got Kevin Chown with us here this morning on WDBC. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning again.
Well, I want
all of your listeners
play another song from Saturday night, one that you sent me, and of course, this is a song that everybody will know, although it is not Satchmo. It's Pete.
It is.
Pete Amel singing What a Wonderful Life. This is from Lee's Garden Winery when the house band played at the outhouse over at Lee's with Pete Amel, Kevin Chown, and Lauren Watson.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, bright blessed day, dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky. Also on the faces of the people passing by. I see myself, what a wonderful world.
colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky. Also on the faces of the people passing by, I see friends.
That is fantastic. Pete Amel of Escanaba and the House Band with Kevin Chown and Lauren Watson.
Thank you very much, everybody. Good
Absolutely.
Night.
Good night. That was the last song. Did you hear the audience sing along in that one?
Yeah. That's one of the best last songs that any band on the planet Earth can ever play.
Yeah.
It's one of those songs that even if it's the worst day you've ever had, you put that song on and it feels like life just got a little bit better at least. Such a magical song.
Which is probably why I apparently mistakenly said Wonderful Life like the movie instead of Wonderful World like the song.
Yes.
When I introduced it, so I apologize for that.
Yeah.
But every once in a while you kind of slip up, but that's all right.
First time I ever heard that song was in the movie Good Morning Vietnam with Robin Williams.
And it's kind of brought it back.
Kind of brought it back to life, yeah. Mm-hmm. What an amazing composition, though. Louis Armstrong, I mean, he's the father of American music in many ways, jazz and...
Yeah, quite the influence.
Yeah, St. Louis Blues when he did that way back in, early 1900s. It's considered almost the birth of jazz. So just imagine if you are a musician and you almost helped create a musical form, and then late in life, like he was here, that's one of your last statements. Boy, I'd say that's a life well lived. I'm telling you, just really amazing.
Phil Lynch did his presentation on Louis Armstrong on Monday at Bay College for Black History Month. He, of course, wrote a book on Live Like Louis and a little bit of history of, you know, what he wrote about anyway, on not only his influence on music, but certainly his character and the type of life that he led. Mm-hmm. As well, so it was my mother and my wife went to Patty and my mom went to the presentation as well as Dave Schaff here. So I'm not sure how many people showed up, but they certainly enjoyed it. So that's good. Next Wednesday, if you like history too, it's going to be Richard Anzalone at Bay College.
Okay.
He's been doing these presentations from Bernie Schultz, who was the photographer for the Daily Press for a long time, and so he prints them off and shows them, talks about them, highlights some of the people, and people in the audience will sit there and I remember that person or the situation. The picture that they're using to promote it is a swim class down at the beach with a bunch of little kids in the water watching a instructor help a little girl learn to swim.
Mm.
So it's kind of a neat picture. Mm. So
I remember when I was a kid, when I learned to swim down at the beach, they used to have rafts out farther in the water that you had to swim out to. And we used to enjoy swimming onto those rafts so much and then jumping off the edge. They don't do that anymore, obviously.
There's no raft out there, So the pictures that Bernie Schultz took, of course, were the ones that he went out and took pictures for the Daily Press, which is different than when you just go out and take your own pictures. You're assigned to things. So there's a lot of, like, check passes or, you know, staged photos as well as photos that are there for an event or, you know, things that are happening, which is kind of what I did when I worked first with the Delta Reporter. I worked for a month for the Daily Press. I was supposed to replace Joe Mahoney, but Joe Mahoney decided that he wasn't going to leave. So then I ended up, that's how I ended up in radio, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
No
because
kidding.
I left my job at the Delta Reporter to go work at the Daily Press, who then didn't want me. And then I got stopped on the sidewalk right by the Daily Press by Gene Kaufman and says, I hear you're looking for a job. Huh. And then about a month later, Terry Williams did the same thing with TV5 or TV3 here in the UP. He says, I hear you're looking for a job, almost in the same location. So I ended up in television and radio based off of that as well.
Even though you were started out as a photographer.
Right. And I still did a lot of that. I still do as much of that as I can. COVID really kind of stopped me. But when the fire happened in our building, a lot of my negatives were stored down in the basement, and they got soaking wet. So they're black and white negatives. And I was kind of going through them, and there was those kinds of photos, like what Bernie Schultz will be showing.
Right.
You know, a lot of them are just people there. But I saw several of them of my brother playing in bands.
Really?
In high school. A lot of high school stuff.
Oh, I'd love to see
homecoming pictures. You know, different things like that. There certainly were the stand-up ones with the check passes and that happening there as well. A lot of them from scout camp when I was a kid. I actually had a dark room up at scout camp when I worked on staff up there during the summers.
You had a dark room at scout camp?
Absolutely. There was no such thing as a computer in those days.
No.
You know?
No, sir.
That's how you got prints. I'll just, it'll be really nice to kind of go through those negatives now again.
Mm-hmm.
If I can get through the rest of them and hopefully save them. It's amazing, even after all these weeks, that some of them are still wet, which is actually a good thing because I can tear them apart
right.
a little bit better and hopefully be able to save them. But
Are you going to be digitizing them?
I did buy a new one because my other one was in the basement. It got wet. And it was old technology anyway.
Right.
So this was newer technology. So I haven't had a chance to try it yet, but I'm anxious to give it a try.
Well, maybe you'll be doing a lecture like Richard Anselm.
But you're talking about, that's anything. What I'm thinking, you know.
Yeah.
Now, Bernie Schultz, I didn't know him, so right. he was before my time. But he was in the 50s and 60s. But I'm talking about photos here from the late 70s to mid 80s
mm-hmm.
that are all black and white negatives that are chronicling, you know, the different history mm-hmm. of the community. I remember such things as, you know, building the new hospital, or even Elmer's,
mm-hmm.
when they built that. I can remember that. Even going out ice boating out on the bay before I knew Jim Hansen and what ice boating was, and went out with this old guy from Gladstone. And I was never so scared as when I was on his boat, pretty much right there at the ice, trying to turn around and take his picture. Because, you know, now you put a GoPro out there, right? No big deal. But in 1981, you had the big camera, which you tried to position and be able to look through it and still take the picture. So
we should do a lecture together.
What do you got?
We should do a lecture through the photographic history of the history of music in Escanaba.
Okay.
Starting from the city band.
But I don't have any pictures of that.
It would have to be a hybrid show. But if you've got you've probably got a lot of the photos from the 70s, if you were taking all of those things.
But it was only my brother's stuff.
Just your brother's stuff.
I didn't go from band to band around.
That would be an interesting lecture, though, the photographic history.
If somebody did that, yeah.
I wonder who has
a lot of football pictures.
You probably have a lot from the state championship.
I just was going to say, I found the envelope with all the state championship games because I was down at the Silver Dome on that. In fact, I broke a camera there because I dropped my camera in the only little teeny spot where the cement was showing. The rest of it was all that, you know, soft stuff.
AstroTurf.
It wasn't AstroTurf. It was that foam, you know, kind of that they had there.
Right.
It wasn't grass. And I found the one spot, of course, where it was cement, and that's where I decided to drop my camera.
Not good.
Broke it, smashed her to smithereens.
You don't have any video by chance, do you?
I do not. Not of the game, you mean? No.
Or just at the Silver Dome on the trip down to the Silver Dome?
No, and you're asking because they want to put a video together. That was Dick Wiles. Mm-hmm. But I do have all of Dick Wiles' videos that he had from his company, and those were all in the basement of that building as well, which is a real shame.
Did they get wet?
A lot of them did, yeah.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the stuff that's down lower to the ground. How deep was the water down there?
It was over 2 feet. Yeah, they pumped out over 2,000 gallons of water.
That's a lot of water.
The basement.
Yeah, water
is... Mr. Clean did that for us.
Water is the tough thing when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Smoke for the living spaces, but water for the storage stuff. It's really hard. But, you know, the one thing I sing about film is that you actually can save it when it gets wet.
I don't know.
If you get on it right away, yeah. You've got a pretty good chance, you know. You can't let it sit.
Mm-hmm.
So my best of luck.
Get going then.
My best of luck to you. Just you know, continuing to kind of pick through that, but it's forcing you to kind of get it digitized in a way. I mean, it's one of those things. It's just, it'll be interesting to see what you discover. Accidentally, mm-hmm. Maybe probably weren't even looking for it. I mean, I'm sure if there wouldn't have been a fire,
some of the stuff I knew I had. I've got my my grandfather on my mom's side in his World War One uniform. I've got my grandfather on my dad's side playing the organ because he did that.
Super.
You know, I saw those pictures go through. So lots of different things like that.
Yeah. Do you have all of the video of your brother's music video?
Well, that would be down in that basement there somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come to think of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure that you, all of the things that you've done since the 70s.
Yeah. Well, I shot the film, because it was film, of my high school graduation for the year. That reel is in the basement. I was going to try and digitize it someday. I've got a projector I was going to use.
16 millimeter?
Yeah.
Bummer. Well, I have a huge basement that has a lot of space that can dry things out, Craig. All you got to do is ask.
All right.
Bring it on by.
So we... do have some things that are popping up here this week. One of them is Comedy Night. I know that's going to be on Sunday. Bruce Belongi is going to be hosting it out there. You can check it out at the Island Resort and Casino. And here's more about that as we head into news at the bottom of the hour. Hanging out this morning with Kevin Chown on WDBC. It is the Blues Weasels, or better known as the Lark Brothers. I know I played that song yesterday, but we are playing it again here today because Kevin will be playing with one of the Lark Brothers.
This coming Wednesday.
Of course, on that song, it was Sam and Dave.
Yes.
You've been playing with Bill, who I graduated with. Mm-hmm. And so I'm anxious to go over and hear you guys play. He does a great job.
Yeah.
I love the Lark Brothers. They just are a fun band.
Mm-hmm.
Always do great music.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just so natural at it, you know.
Yeah.
When you watch them perform.
They're a family, musical family, which is what it's fun for me. I mean, it's such a natural thing for them. Their dad had the bar.
Yep.
Just gave them a blank slate. Just do what you want, and this is what happens. They just created a family that has played a lot of gigs.
Mm-hmm.
The Larks have played a lot of gigs. And I have to say, they've, of all the different musicians in town, I mean, like, become friends with Jim Adams recently. You know, all of the different Adams sisters and Jim have all worked with the Larks through the years. You know, Kat, Sherry, all those different people. It was kind of like the training ground for a lot of people that went on to pursue music in a lot of different places. The Lark Brothers were it was the place where a lot of people cut their teeth, as we
said. Well, when I saw them perform in the early 80s, I always went, and that was the song I wanted to hear. That one and Domino, mm-hmm. which
Van Morrison.
Van Morrison, popular song. But they did an awesome job with that song as well.
Mm-hmm.
But Tangerine is one that Bill will play with you on Wednesday at the House of Ludington.
Indeed.
With the house band, so you can check that out. I'm going to have to make sure. I haven't had a chance to go see him play yet. So I'm going to make sure that I guess keep Wednesday open. That would be really nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice night out.
Should we check the weather to see what it might be next Wednesday?
Let's see.
All right. We are expecting some scattered snow showers this afternoon after 3 p.m. Otherwise, it's going to be partly sunny today with a high near 25. There is some chance of isolated snow showers before 8 o'clock tonight with mostly cloudy skies and a low around 9. The wind chill factor could even be 0 to 5. Winds are going to be gusting up to 20 miles an hour, and that wind was pretty nasty late afternoon yesterday. It's going to be scattered snow showers again on Saturday, mostly after 5 p.m. with increasing clouds and a high near 25. Wind chill values between 0 and 10. And then we're expecting, again, wind gusts up to 20 miles an hour on Saturday. Saturday night, isolated snow showers before 9 p.m., mostly cloudy, a low around 20. We're looking at patchy blowing snow between noon and 2 on Sunday and a high near 32. Looking at a high of 32 on Monday, that happens to be Washington's birthday. Also, Tuesday, a high of 38, a high of 40 on Wednesday, and then a high near 35 on Thursday. 40s on Wednesday. All right, so Menominee this morning is at 19, Marquette 18, Iron Mountain 15, and in Escanaba we have 17 degrees. So while it's snowing on Saturday, I'll be helping out at the Badenoch Gobblers National Wild Turkey Banquet at the Highland Golf Club. I'll be giving away some of the prizes. I get to talk. And I move things along, so hopefully people will keep up with me.
You can go talk turkey.
I want to get out of there. I want to win my gun and go. So there we go. And then we got next Saturday, Hugh Poole, who's going to be playing at the Nama Inn, 7 p.m. Be a good road trip. He'll also be up at the Ore Dock on Friday, the night before.
Cool.
And he is with... hey, Michael, who'd you say he's with?
Mulebone,
which is a blues band, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very cool.
It's direct from Brooklyn, so he'll be making his tour of the UP, so that'll be good to see.
Brooklyn and Nama have a lot in common.
They do, eh?
Oh, man. You know, it's cool that he brings up all these different artists from... I've gone out there, I saw the Red Elvises, a couple of other things. Nama's got a scene.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There's definitely a thing going on. I'm going to show this to my friends here in case they'd like to go.
Kevin, of course, Facebook's lives. Yeah. I was just out there, and I liked his... posts, so I was watching myself there. Well, actually, you don't see me, you see Kevin on there, and I liked it. So make sure you do that too. Catch out Kevin's Facebook post. He's got people from all over the world to check in on that. You're taking off. You won't be here next week.
Yes, sir.
So you're going to miss the playing out at Nama because you're going to be playing in Minneapolis.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Get over there, and Julie's coming with me, and we're going to hang out for a day. Gonna get her get a
well,
chance.
That's nice. You're gonna take her on the road with you?
Yeah, she's gonna.
Wow.
Well, we're just
are
driving.
You flying or driving?
No, I'm just driving. Okay. So she's gonna get a chance to meet all of my Steel Art family, all the crazy people that I talk about when I'm on the road all the time. So
It's kind of like meeting the parents.
It is. It is. I hadn't thought of that, but now you got me all nervous, Craig. When I was.
But see if they approve.
See if she approves.
Oh, that might be the right guy. That's
exactly.
More like it.
No, they're great people, and it's always fun to play. I always like playing in Minneapolis. This is a good rock town.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Love their rock and roll there. It's with Lita Ford. So it's Steelheart and Lita Ford, which is a pairing that we do quite often. That works really, really well. So it'll be a good time.
Looking forward to it. Well, that means next Friday, although she doesn't know it yet, my substitute teacher will be in, Christine Hovland, because it's been a while since she's had to substitute. Mm-hmm. So it'll be good to see her. And, of course, that'll be just as they're heading into a new Players to Not Play. I don't know if she has a connection to it, but she's involved with Players. They're coming in on Monday to tell us about Lumberjacks in Love. If there's a Youper play, I've never heard of one than
exactly.
That. Men on Ice. In fact, it's based on the Men on Ice one. If you saw that, it was a fantastic, hilarious play. This one's called Lumberjacks in Love, so we'll find out what that's all about on Monday, and maybe when Christine comes in next Friday as well.
Excellent.
All right. Well, Kevin...
We'll see you in a couple weeks.
You have a safe trip. Have fun playing. And we'll see you in March.
Yeah, if not next Wednesday at the House of Ludington. One of the two. We'll see each other soon in any way.
From the House of Ludington to Minneapolis.
Yes, exactly. So we'll see you soon.
All right, Kevin. Thanks. That's Three Dog Night with Shambhala on WDBC. Jim Hansen, I've got a club here that's not for you.
I would hope so.
It's not for you because I certainly don't consider this to be your issue. This is Procrastinators Unite over at Bay College.
Yeah, I don't tend to be a procrastinator.
Not by any means.
I think after about 10 years of marriage, maybe longer, my dear bride, Alice, came up with the. She understood that I'm somewhat intense. Talk to a doctor and they say, well, how's your energy? And I'll go, probably too much, but I'm a little impatient and very intense. And I'm good with that. I said, I get along with myself doing that. When I'm on the highway, I'm always five over, but that's something she had to learn to live with.
So if you are a procrastinator like me,
Oh.
Then on February 22nd from 5 until 10 or whenever the heck you decide to get over there, the Procrastinators Unite is going to be meeting in the hub. Yeah. I think it's mostly for students because it says, A Night Against Procrastination, NAP. It is an evening for all students to get together to fight procrastination. You can study for midterms, write a paper, work on a project, or just hang out and have a good time. There's going to be plenty of study areas and tutors available. Free food, that'll bring you
that'll bring
in,
them in
and more. So.
Yeah, procrastinators drive me crazy.
And they do.
I hate to say this. Well, I don't hate to say it, or I wouldn't say it. But fine arts people tend to be very procrastinating. They do. My brother, Mr. Al Hansen, who's the big, you know, he's an
great
exceptional
potter.
Artist with pottery and painting and glass blowing. And I said, my son is a very good artist as well.
Mm-hmm. He is.
But procrastinators. I'll say, well, when are you going to get that done? Oh, maybe next week. So then 2 weeks go by and I go, well, did you ever get that done? Yeah, well, maybe next
Working
week.
On it.
Working on it. It's just, most people, procrastinators in particular, if they're going to a meeting, they're always 15 minutes late.
Mm-hmm.
I always am 15 minutes early or more. I like to be prepared, ready to go, and go. Don't hesitate.
And to get things done.
And get things done, exactly.
All right. Well, I told you that club was not for you.
That is not my club. If anything, I need to go to the opposite spectrum of that club and learn to
What would be the opposite of that? Procrastinator to what? What's the other end of that
the
spectrum?
The other term?
We'll have to come up with it.
We'll
hey,
have to
Google.
Come up with it. Yeah, it's not anxiety. It's...
Anxiety.
No, I don't have any anxiety.
I wouldn't have gone there at all.
No, I wouldn't either. I'm trying to think of it. When you get older, you forget terms in your head. I have to have a dictionary in front of me now to figure out what words I'm saying.
All right. We'll go get one as we hang out and talk
about work on that.
On sports here coming
Absolutely.
Up. Thanks, Jim. Michael Jackson, I Just Can't Stop Loving You. Go-getter. That's the opposite of procrastinator. Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
So Janis Boshaw recommended that as the opposite of procrastinator.
That's great. We'll have to have a go-getters club. those people who just don't let grass grow underneath their feet. There's a project to do. They analyze it. They look at it, and away they go.
Oh, my. Aren't you intense?
I'm intense. Absolutely. Did you hear that, Jay? That's my son, by the way.
That was the one you called the procrastinator.
He
yes.
is a procrastinator. Uh-huh. Yeah, he's a great kid, but he's a procrastinator.
All right, we're going to start a go-getters club. Thanks, Jim.